Tommy Saul, welcome.
Good to be here, Julia.
You are musically inclined in just about every way. Now you're getting ready to present a tribute to The Last Waltz. Congratulations.
Thank
what
you.
A project. Tell us, where did the passion all begin?
Well, I was about 5 years old. My parents had a piano in the house, and I just couldn't get away from it. You know, my brother Ted would guide my fingers along the piano, and then they got me into lessons as soon as possible, and I just haven't been able to get away from it.
Well, we're all glad of that, and also you prove that sometimes piano lessons at home really do.
It's true, folks.
That's great.
Keep your kids in it.
So what drives you to experience seemingly every aspect of the musical realm, from teaching it, performing it, producing it?
Well, passion. It boils down to just the labor of love and wanting to make as many connections as possible and wanting to just appreciate all of the many facets that go into doing a production or putting on a gig. We take for granted a lot about all of the little things that need to come together in order to make just one great night happen. And so I really just want to become experienced in that and versed in it. And I have a passion for it, and I will keep doing it until the day I die.
You're saying the more you do in any one area, that literally drives you to learn another area, but put it all together, keep going.
Absolutely. Because also the more experience you get with it, the more you can connect with other people about it too.
There is a great big secret, I think, of your success in particular, because you are a people person and it shows in your music. And performance is exacting. We know that, and you do a lot of it. So is teaching. How do they compare in your experiences, in your pleasure?
It's different. It's a different type of satisfaction, because with students, they are struggling to get concepts that come easy to other people, you know? Whereas with live performance, you're just doing the gig and it's a show and you don't really have to think about it all that much. So it's a different, it's kind of apples and oranges in a way, because there's more of a sensitivity to teaching. You're accompanying somebody on their journey, and you want to make sure that the instrument is still attracted to them and they're just not like, oh, gee golly, I got to do my scales. On the one hand, with the live performance, you get to be free and you just get to hang out with your buddies and jam. But with teaching, it's a different type of satisfaction, because you get to see concepts and things come alive to your students right there, and that's what makes it worth it.
Your equal opportunity in your own life for all of these things, and good for you. So, genre-wise, Tommy, jazz is your first love. Is that safe to say?
That's safe to say.
Honestly, have you ever met a genre you didn't like?
It's hard to compare, but, you know, I can appreciate everything. Probably things like death metal and some of John Coltrane's later records. They don't really speak to my ear as much. But for me, music is kind of psychological in a way, where if you can sense what type of music a person is into, you can kind of understand that person better. I think it's kind of foolish to go around saying, like, that music stinks or that was bad, maybe with a few exceptions, but I like it all. And there's a season for everything. Sometimes it's jazz season, sometimes it's reggae season, sometimes it's bluegrass season. It's all good. So
those are all great points. You also bring up the most important part. It is a language, and obviously you're fluent in all dialects of it.
Yeah, it is really about communication.
Indeed. And that brings us to your upcoming tribute, The Last Waltz. Now, what compels you to tackle that magnificent beast and make it your own?
So The Last Waltz is a very iconic show from the 70s. It was made very, very popular through Martin Scorsese's documentary of it. And ever since then, it's become kind of a household video, if you will, for music lovers everywhere. And Tim Hall called me about 7 months ago, and he asked me to put on a gig at the Fillmore. The Fillmore is a cool spot to go, and there's a lot of stuff happening there. I was very humbled that Tim asked me to put something together, and I just thought to myself, what is like the most overarching or all-encompassing type of project that you could do? It crosses generations. There's multiple people around town that could fulfill these roles. It's kind of a perfect storm of all of these factors.
And so this idea actually begat the production team of Caddymaster to do all this. Who is in that and why?
Yeah, so my friend Jake Wilhelm and I have been collaborators for the last few years, and we are always scheming about different cool projects that we could put on around town. So finally, since we're in charge of the box office for this one, we just put together Caddymaster. We can call whoever we want and put together whatever shows we want, and it's all about getting different musicians and artists exposure. It's also about not being too tied down to a certain way of doing things. So this time around, we might be doing a rock show, but in the future, we might be doing a spoken word thing or a dance thing, or who knows, you know? So Jake and I are just really passionate about putting on projects. And so this was kind of our opportunity to just say, as long as we're going to be putting some big stuff together, let's just make an LLC and maybe start taking some baby steps.
That's great. And I've got to ask, how'd you get that name?
So we come from a big family, as you know, and we caddied for Orchard Ridge, Fort Wayne Country Club, Sycamore Hills. And my uncle Chris was the caddy master at Sycamore Hills for a while. So just because of that history there, we call it Caddy Master.
Yeah. That is great. And I hope you live up to the reputation, to be sure. Now, there's never a shortage of great musicians in our area. Tommy, how did you choose the performers for this?
Definitely the toughest part, but obviously Fort Wayne has a lot of stars around town, many of which have their names on your wall out there. And we just wanted to go with the people who matched the role in the concert the best. With the amount of names that are around, you can't really go too far astray. We have such figures as Phil Scherger, Kenny Taylor, Michael Patterson, and Addison is a big one. She'll be doing the Joni part. And everybody from John Ross and Atticus Sorrell to John Swain and Rick Barand on harmonica. So we got a lot of good stuff coming.
That's exciting, and it sounds like you have every sensibility covered then in this production.
100%.
And it also seems like the hardest part then of this whole process was just narrowing it down to only very small amount of musicians.
Because you want to have everybody, and everybody wants to be up there too, you know, and you wish you could make the whole experience a whole Fort Wayne thing, but alas, there's only 14 or 15 roles that you have to fill.
And only one performance. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm sure you did a wonderful job. Now, a word on that venue. Fillmore on Broadway is seemingly made for such a production. How does it feel to actually perform in that? I know you have before.
Definitely.
And it's historic.
It's awesome in there. As soon as you walk in, you get a good vibe. It's artsy and there's cool stuff all over the walls and there's the mezzanine up above and the bar and the stage. It's just a cool spot to be in. By the way, it is going to be standing, like a concert type of feel. And the stage will have all the horns up there and we'll have all the microphones. And my sound engineer, Jay Hipskin, is a true professional. An authentic experience, I think, is the word that I'm looking for. Yeah.
Great. That's just
it's
great.
It's the whole deal.
Now, this is an iconic retro classic, Tommy, but it remains popular to music lovers of all ages. We get that. From your multi-musically faceted perspective, what's the secret of its timeless appeal, do you think?
Good question. What I would say is, number one, I think when you just have people who appreciate music and you love music, you hand it on to your kids, right? You buy the DVD and you watch it all the time. And these artists that are in it are timeless. You got Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell. I mean, come on, their memory is never going to die, right? So the artistry and just the heavy hitters that are already within the show just makes it timeless de facto. And it does cross generations because people are always going to be handing this stuff down to their kids. It's going to be an over 21 event, but we do want to make it so that the folks who are hanging out in the 60s and 70s who got to experience it right when it came out could be rocking their heads alongside the 20-somethings who are just starting out with it. So we want to make it kind of an everybody's invited kind of thing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And it's sure to be a winner. And you're going to be making generations to come interested in all of this,
hopefully.
Which is the point.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy, meanwhile, you juggle all those music hats that you wear every single day. Do you ever feel overwhelmed?
I do. Yep, there are ups and downs and strikes and gutters. And one of my old collaborating friends used to say that trying to organize musicians is like herding cats, which in some sense can be true at times. There's a lot of ADD going on in these groups, and we love them all. We love musicians. They're great. But, you know, you do have to deal with some things. And Murphy's Law says whatever can go wrong will go wrong, right? So sometimes people have conflicts and they double book, or sometimes people have to miss a rehearsal, or sometimes people get stacked one week and they don't get to practice everything that they should have. But you roll with it. It's a labor of love. And just because things are hard doesn't mean they're not worth it.
And do you think your multifaceted musical experience and musical career, since you do all of those things well, does that help you be a good cat herder, if you will?
Well, yes, it does. It teaches you to kind of care and not to care. There's some things that are out of your control and you just have to let it go. And then there are some things where you know you've been in this situation before and maybe you have a little bit more circumspection to deal with it the appropriate way. So,
well, you're off to a good start. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate
on all
that.
Of that. And what's next in your nonstop musical adventures, Tom?
Well, we have First Presbyterian Theater. The music director, Tom Hofrichter, is going to be putting on Christmas songs and stories all during the month of the weekends of December. And then Greg Stieber, who I'm a great fan of, is going to be doing another installation of his Young Heroes of Conscience series.
That's with the Fort Wayne Youth Theater.
That's correct. And we'll be doing that at the Black Box. It's always like the first weekend or two in February. And we get all the kids involved. We're doing Martin Luther King Jr. We're going to be putting on some pretty heavy arrangements for that one as well. That'll keep me busy between December and February.
And what treats would have to be for you, but also for the community. Thank you for that. Mm. And last question. We know what your musical gifts do for those you reach, Tommy. But now from your heart, I want to hear, what do all of those opportunities and experiences do for you?
Man, they make me grateful. It makes me so happy that there are just all these people around who even think that this stuff is cool and worthwhile. It just makes me want to go out and do it more. And it makes me want to make Fort Wayne a cooler spot than it already is. As I said, the labor of love thing is really what it is. Because it's not like walking on rose petals all day long. It gets tough and sometimes you get stressed. But when the lights go on and the people are cheering and people really feel affected by the experience that they just had, it really just drives it all home. And it makes you say, wow, this is cool. I'm in the right business and I want to keep doing it.
Fort Wayne musician Tommy Saul, along with Jake Wilhelm, is producing The Last Waltz for the Fillmore on Broadway. Tommy, thank you so much for taking time to share this story with us today. Last Waltz. Have a great one.
Appreciate it. It's going to be a great show. Can't wait to see everybody out there.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.